The following commentary is for educational purposes only. Always consult the appropriate tax, legal, or financial professionals before acting on any information heard in this program.
Welcome to the IRA Brothers Podcast. I'm Nick Edwards.
And I'm Nathan Edwards.
And this is episode number 6. Nate, what are we talking about today?
Today we're going to cover the solo 401k, the SEP IRA, and the simple IRA.
So I'm a, let's say, small business owner, because most of these would apply to smaller businesses. What would be some of the primary considerations that I would make in trying to determine which of these might be the best fit for my business?
Usually when people come to us, they say, I'm an employer, I've got a small business, what is the best way for me to sock away some cash, and what am I going to have to give up to do that? And so usually what people are talking about when they say, what do I have to give up is, unfortunately, what do I have to pay my employees as well to...
So no one ever comes to you and says, I want to give as much money as I possibly can to my employees for free, can you help me out?
Yeah, very infrequently, unfortunately. I can think of one time someone was trying to incentivize their employees. Mm-hmm. So one of the big ones is the 401k, because people have heard about a 401k and they come to us and say, what about a 401k? Can I do a 401k?
Sure, it's the most popular.
And so the first question is, well, how many employees do you have? Mm. And if they've got more than, well, one employee that's not their spouse, their only option would be a safe harbor 401k or a traditional 401k like we covered in the last show. And those can be a little bit more expensive to administer because they do have to have the anti or the non-discrimination tests in the case of a traditional 401k. And in the safe harbor 401k, there are some employee contribution considerations that have to be made that not every employer is comfortable with.
Now, you said something there that was kind of in passing, so I want to come back to it for just a second. You said if you are the only employee, and then you kind of threw in a maybe your spouse in there. Tell me a little bit more about that in relation to the solo K.
Okay, so if the answer is I'm the only employee, I'm self-employed, I'm the only employee, and or I'm the only employee and my spouse, then one of the options that you have is what's called a solo 401k. And that's essentially just a traditional 401k, but for yourself. So if you are the only employee, you're the owner employee, you have the option of opening up a 401k and making contributions as if it were a regular 401k. And it's actually, for many people, it's a very attractive option. So sometimes, depending on who you open it through, there can be some costs associated with administering that, which can be a little bit more expensive than other options. But again, depending on who you open it through, maybe there aren't. One of the most attractive attributes of the solo 401k is that under some circumstances, it allows the owner employee to contribute more to the plan than they would be able to under a SEP or a simple IRA. And so I will illustrate this for you. So if I am my own employer and I want to contribute to a retirement plan, in a 401k, I can contribute 100% of what my self-employment earnings are up to the limit for the year, the contribution limit for the year. In 2017, that is $18,000 if I'm under age 50, or $24,000 if I'm over age 50. And so I can contribute up to 100% of what I made in self-employment income to the plan up to those limits.
Now stop right there, because a lot of us who are self-employed, and if you're self-employed, you know this, earnings or income can be kind of a nebulous term. We have that broken down in a couple different ways, as self-employed people know. So give me a real clear definition of what exactly that means as far as the elective deferral part of it.
It is going to be based on how you're paid. So there are a couple different ways that it's looked at. If you're a sole proper LLC, it doesn't really matter. It's going to be your net earnings, you know, what you have after you reduce those earnings by deductions. If you're a corporation, S-Corp, C-Corp, it's going to be based on what you pay yourself. So your W-2 income.
There you go. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So. But then on the back half of that, you can also contribute to yourself on the employer side.
Mm-hmm.
So you can make those non-elective deferrals like we outlined in the previous show.
Right.
And those get a little bit more tricky as far as how much you can contribute to yourself. Again, it's going to depend on how you compensate yourself. But basically, the easiest way to determine how much you can defer on that side is by looking up. It's called IRS Publication 560. And they actually have a worksheet that walks you through step by step. But at the end of the day, depending on your income level, you may be able to contribute much more into a retirement plan through a solo 401k than you could through the other options that we're about to talk about. And you'll see why here in a second.
So before we get to the other options, one of the first things that you said was that the consideration from the small business owner owner's perspective, again, is the cost with these plans. And one of the things that's an inhibiting factor if you go with a traditional 401k and you're a small business owner is that if you set up a traditional 401k, the cost can get way up there. I remember a couple years ago, I was trying to set one up and there was two or three employees. And for whatever reason, that someone had told them they needed a traditional 401k. And I had shopped this thing around, and the cheapest we could get through a custodian that would do that was something like $2,500 for just all the administrative stuff that needs to go on.
Very expensive.
So now this is what was interesting to me, because the individual solo K has not been around nearly as long as the traditional solo K was.
I think 2001, right?
Was it? Yeah. So I remember when these first started to kind of come out, and they really burst onto the scene maybe around 2005, they started to get really popular. And one of the inhibiting factors with that is a lot of the custodians that would set these up would have $200-$300 per year administrative costs with these. And then all of a sudden we'd start running into companies that said, hey, it's $50 a year.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have companies, one of the custodians we work with now says there's no costs associated with it. And I said, well, what would prevent someone from doing this then? And they said, well, the administrative side can still be a burden because there's forms you have to
file.
There are. Well, here's the thing with that. If you have less than $250,000 in assets in the plan, you don't have to file anything. And when you do have more than $250,000, there's one form that you have to file with the IRS, and it's really not that big of a deal. So don't let that scare you away from the individual 401k.
Well, and all of these will be give and take. So we're not necessarily recommending one over another. And we do, in fact, recommend any of these at any given time based on the circumstances that they would be applied to. So it's very important to consider the attributes of the plan that you're talking about and compare that with your personal situation and objectives.
And before we go any further, let's just remind everyone that this is not a four-hour show. We try to break these up into bite-sized pieces. And there's lots more considerations that you need to think about as you're evaluating these plans and setting one up. And we encourage folks to go right to the source of this information, the best source, which is typically the IRS.gov website.
That's
where you can get all the specific answers. And be very careful, because as Nathan and I were researching this show, we found that some of these non-IRS websites actually had incorrect information on it.
That's correct.
Go right to the source, go to the IRS website. So do you want to explore the simple IRA now?
Please do. Let's move on.
Okay. One of the funny things about, and it's only funny to nerds like us who like funny things like this, is that the simple IRA is really not as simple as the name would imply. In fact, simple doesn't stand for simple. It's an acronym that stands for Savings Incentive Match Plan for Employees. And that's why each of the letters is capitalized. Yes, it is a mouthful. And here's how these work. And then I'll tell you which type of employer situation they might be most advantageous for. This is for someone who doesn't want to spend a whole lot of money matching for their employees. So again, we're looking beyond the solo K now. We're looking at people that probably have some employees with them where the solo K wouldn't be an option. So it's the business owner and some employees they've got with them. Because if you don't have employees, probably the most bang for your buck as far as assets that you can stick into the plan is the solo K, maybe the SEP, which we'll talk about
and
next.
And let's real quick just clarify that if you do have other employees other than yourself and your spouse, so if at some point in the future you acquire a full-time employee, that qualifies for the plan, which is over age 21, works over 1,000 hours a year, you will have to transition that into a traditional 401k plan or a safe harbor 401k plan if you want to keep it intact. And so it's critically important that you make that consideration in advance. Are we going to have employees in the future? And what is our employee situation now?
That's right. So with a simple, here's some of just the bullet points that are associated with it. And here's a big thing that you need to know, because as Nate has said in some of the previous shows, a lot of time clients will come in and see us at the end of the year and they're saying, oh my gosh, I need a place to shelter some money from taxes. With a simple plan, this thing needs to be set up by October 1st of the year that you plan on contributing to this plan. So don't wait until December. You're not going to be able to set it up, at least not for that tax year. You could set it up for the next tax year. The contributions to it from the elective deferral side, if you're going to make salary deduction contributions, must be made by the end of the year. That paycheck that would be for the December 31st time period, you actually have up until January 30th to get the money into it, but after that, you're done. So it needs to be that last paycheck of the year. On the matching side, and I'll talk about the limits for that and how that has to work in just a minute, that money can go in there from the employer side all the way up until the tax filing deadline plus extensions in the following year, which is sometime in October. So you have some time at the end of the year and into the next year to figure out what the matching portion is going to be. Now, here's how the matching part works. You've really got two options as an employer. You can either match dollar for dollar up to 3% of compensation for employees that are participating in the plan, or if you say, gosh, that's a lot, I got a lot of employees that are going to be participating in this plan, or if you say, God, I don't think anybody's going to participate in this plan, you can kind of crunch the numbers out and go with option two, which is a flat 2% of salary contribution for everybody, whether they're participating or not. Which means if you go with that option, you have to set the plan up form, and then you have to figure out what that 2% of salary is, and then you put it in the plan form. Again, you have all the way up until your tax filing deadline of the next year to get that money into the plan.
Now, can you change the match method on an annual basis, or is that set in advance?
Yes, you can change the match, and it only is on the 3% side. So if you're going to do the 3% match, you can reduce that down to 1% if you want, but you can't do it more than two of any preceding 5 years. So this is a good plan for people that want to offer something to the employees but are concerned about having to offer too much. And I found that most of our clients that have simple IRA plans, usually a lot of the employees just choose not to participate. So they select the 3% option knowing that they're not going to participate. And by the way, you have to at least offer it to all the eligible employees, and it winds up saving them money because they have so many that aren't participating.
Which, going back to the employee's perspective, this is another reason that you want to make sure that you look into the plan that's available to you at work, because sometimes your employer is offering a plan to you in which they assume that you're not going to take advantage of it, and taking advantage of it is to your best benefit.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about one interesting little quirk about the simple IRA plan, and I don't know where this regulation came from, but again, we are dealing with the IRS here. If you ever want to roll over the assets of your simple IRA plan, in other words, you want to move it into an IRA, you're not with the employer anymore, you just want to change plans, whatever, if you do that within 2 years of the time you first made a contribution to it, the IRS levies a penalty of, are you ready for this? 25%.
You know, that is one of those wild, quirky things that just comes up. And every once in a while, it does come up and you see it and just think, how did that make it in there?
And this is one of those things you want to watch particularly close, because it's not from when you first set the plan up. We have sometimes people will set these plans up and for 2 years put no money into them. It's from the date you made that first contribution into that plan. After 2 years, then you're good to go. But make sure you know when you made that first contribution into it.
Okay, so let's move on to the SEP IRA.
Do you know what SEP stands for?
No, I don't.
It stands for Simplified Employee Pension. And that pension part of it is a key word, because unlike the Solo K and unlike the simple IRA, there is no employee contribution element to this. That means that everything that goes into this plan must come from the employer. And unlike the simple IRA, there are certain eligibility requirements to where you have to include certain employees if they meet these requirements. And those requirements are they are either age 21 or have worked in the business for 3 of the last 5 years. So if they have met either one of those two things, you have to include them in the plan.
Man, you'd think that they would be able to streamline these eligible employee stipulations across the plans, but I guess that would be too easy.
Well, yes, and of course, these things have all come into existence in kind of a staggered time frame, so every time they introduce a new one, they have to make up entirely new rules for it to justify what they're doing.
Perfect.
Now, here's how this thing works. Since it is all coming from the employer side, you have to make sure that you're taking care of every single one of your employees just like you're taking care of yourself if you're the business owner. So that means, and this is the big thing here, because this could be an option for people that just want to have a place to put a lot of money into a plan, and they are thinking about it after the fact. In other words, after the end of the year, and this is a great option for the folks that like to wait to the very last minute to do things, because you can set up and fund a SEP IRA all the way up until your tax filing deadline plus extensions. So this one gives you a lot of wiggle room if you haven't even thought about this until way, way after the tax year, and you're looking at it in sometime in September of the next year, and you're thinking, I need to put some money away. The SEP might be an option for you if you're the only employee. Because if you have other employees in the plan, like I said, you have to take care of everyone the same way you take care of yourself. How well can you take care of yourself? Well, you can put up to 25% of your annual income into that plan, not to exceed $54,000 in a year. If you're self-employed, which again, most people that are doing this would be, there can be some limitations to that. So again, go to the IRS website. There's a worksheet that'll help you figure out exactly how much you can get into that plan. And with all of these, the Solo K, which does, I'll grant, have the Roth option, but definitely the Simple IRA and the SEP IRA, we're talking about tax-deferred dollars here. These aren't Roth-ish type dollars. So everything you put into these plans will be tax-deductible, unless, again, it's a Solo K and you've set up the plan where you have the Roth funding option.
And even then, the employer contributions would still be tax-deductible.
That is correct. Another nice thing about the SEP IRA that gives it a little bit more flexibility is that you do not have to contribute every single year. In fact, you don't have to contribute any year if you don't want. The thing to remember, though, is if you contribute in a given year, you just have to take care of all the other employees the same way as you take care of yourself.
So say I'm the employer and I contribute into my SEP IRA 10% of what I earn in a given year.
Mm-hmm.
That means that I then have to contribute for my employees 10% of their salary for that year as well.
That's right. So unless you're paying them all $6,000 a year or something very, very low, this could be very, very costly.
That's correct. And in future episodes, we hope to delve into some of these details to a greater degree, but this is a basic outline of the most common plans that we see associated with small businesses.